From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Well, our connection this hour was made with the announcement that another Rochester school superintendent was leaving. Earlier this week, we sat down with City School Board Commissioner Camille Simmons. Today, we welcome another member of the board, James Patterson. We have invited members of the board to come on and talk about how they see the search for a new superintendent. The board's got to do this. They have to hire a new superintendent. That includes a national search as well as the consideration of local candidates. But the board is also contending with the idea that its dysfunction has contributed to the departure of Dr. Carmine Peluso and potentially other recent leaders. In late March on this program, the president and vice president of the school board alleged that two members of the board in particular had essentially driven Superintendent Peluso out. They described one board member's behavior as borderline harassment. And the president of the Rochester Teachers Association, Adam Urbanski, said that he had heard essentially the same kind of story. This hour, we explore how Commissioner Patterson sees the problems and the possible solutions from his eyes. Commissioner James Patterson, welcome back to the program. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And again, before we even begin, I want to give thanks to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for just giving me this platform, you know, to be here, and also thank WXXI for allowing me to respond to, you know, some of these accusations.
Well, a lot to talk about. Let me just take it back a little bit here. Tell me what your reaction was when you got the news that another superintendent, Carmine Peluso, was leaving, a superintendent who has spent decades in this district and had said as recently as last fall that he expected to be here for years. What did you think?
I was kind of blindsided because Carmine and I, we had a personal relationship aside from the board, and we could have open discussions that were respectful. Even though we might disagree, we agreed to disagree. So, did we always agree? Absolutely not. There were some things as far as fiscal responsibility, which is our job, as governance, to oversee, and I question him on? Absolutely. You know, my job is, as a commissioner, is to ask the difficult questions. You know, you just can't sit back and, you know, give the superintendent a free check, you know, without questioning it. So I was very shocked, to be honest with you, and I advised him that I was so.
Disappointed?
Very disappointed, in that. Were there some decisions that he made, again, that, you know, I was in disagreement with and voiced those disagreements? I'm quite direct. I'm quite transparent and mostly business when it comes to board work. Outside the board, then I'm a different personality. I'm friendly and kind. But when it comes to business and business of the community, student outcomes and, making sure our kids are reading on grade level, graduating on time and, you know, being prepared if they go into the skills for the world. Absolutely. I'm quite direct and, want to be part of that, group that wants to, you know, push things forward and have our kids, like I said, graduating on time and being college ready or skills ready.
The superintendent, Carmine Peluso, is staying on to do work through the end of this school year. And then he is taking the top job over at Churchville Chi-Lai in July. Did you think that he had a moral responsibility to stay here in Rochester?
I did, based upon some statements that he made that I was able to hear once again through your WXXI, statements that he made that he was committed, you know, to us. But at the same time, I, without him saying it, I know or feel, I should say, because I don't have any proof of this, but I feel that he was also under pressure by our board leaders, you know, to do something a certain way, to hire certain people and things like that. So I had a conversation with him relative to that, you know, setting the record straight when it was said that I harassed him. And I'm going to speak for myself today, not Jacqueline Griffin. I'm going to speak for myself. But I said, you know, I've never harassed you. Why didn't you set that record straight? And he said to me, James, I never said those words. They never came from me. And I welcome you to have him on to...
I hope he will
yes,
come on the program.
Yeah. Come back on and straighten that out.
I certainly hope he will. He came on one time in his tenure, and we had, a really direct and productive conversation. I hope the superintendent understands that that I and everyone involved with Connections respects him. And, I ask direct questions about what I think his responsibility is, if he has a moral responsibility to stay, because he knows there's been a revolving door of superintendents, as do you, Commissioner.
Yes.
And it's been tough for this district. It's been tough for the students. You often bring up, hey, what's the effect on the students?
Absolutely.
An unstable situation of leadership is tough for the students. But that doesn't mean that I don't want to hear him out. Of course I do.
Absolutely.
And one thing that I want to also explore with you is, I came into this conversation today not knowing how direct you feel you can be. So before I play a clip from a previous conversation, let me just ask you, you invoked not only your own name, but Commissioner Jacqueline Griffin. Mm-hmm. And you feel that the president and the vice president, while they have not publicly named your names, is referring to the two of you when they talk about commissioners who have behaved inappropriately to drive the superintendent out?
Absolutely. I listened to that interview at least 2 to 3 times, breaking it down word by word. Definitely, if you know us, you, by some of the verbiage that they utilize, you know exactly who they're talking about. And then in the paper, Adam Urbanski mentioned us by name. So, yes, our names are out there. And, I'm not it wasn't the right time for me to respond. I wanted to really respond in the spirit and not in the flesh out of anger. And I didn't want to really stoke that fire. So now is the time that I feel in my spirit that I'll give a response that's it's being transparent, but it's kind in the same way, if you can say that.
Okay, and so let's listen to one of the clips from that program that the commissioner is talking about. It's in this particular clip, it's the vice president of the board, Beatrice LeBron, and they were Beatrice LeBron and Cynthia Elliott, the vice president and president of the board, were talking on this program about their belief that Superintendent Peluso was essentially driven out by the behavior of a couple of board members. And James is saying they're referring to him and Jacqueline Griffin, who I have not spent time with on this program. She's not taken us up on on offers to come on. I hope that changes. But the point is that what you are about to hear is Beatrice LeBron's response to a question I asked when I said, look, every position of leadership, especially a superintendent in a high-needs district, is going to be one that comes with scrutiny. It's going to be one that comes with criticism, sometimes from the public, sometimes pretty intense criticism and scrutiny. And doesn't that come with any leadership position? Isn't that part and parcel to a position like this one? Let's listen to what Beatrice LeBron said.
This is, in my opinion, some of it was even borderline, and I did pen this, right? This is borderline harassment, right? So this is not, and I'll give an example to the listeners, and I'll use you as an example, Evan. You are the host of the radio station. Could you imagine a board member from WXSI coming in every day, holding office here, right, next to your studio, to watch what you're doing, to question every conversation you're having, to physically interject potentially in investigations that are happening downstairs, right? The district is a microorganism. There's lots of stuff happening. You're questioning everything that's happening, and it's a constant thing, 24/7. And what I, pointed out yesterday in conversation with some individuals, what the public sees is one board meeting a week, if that, and then that's it. You're not seeing all the other are happening behind the scenes, all the other additional meeting requests, right? Because board members can request meetings with the superintendent on their own. And now you have different board members on your schedule every single week, but you're still the superintendent. You still have to manage. So same with you. You still have to be on air. You still have a schedule and a calendar of things you have to do to get your job done. Now you have a board member from WXSI coming in every day. They want to sit in on these meetings. They want to give you an opinion on what shows you should be covering. Don't say it like that. I want you to say it like this. That is insanity. That is insanity. And it's not a board member's job to supervise directly as one individual, the superintendent. And we have said over and over, it is the supervision is in the body of the board.
That is Vice President of the Rochester City School Board, Beatrice LeBron, about 5 weeks ago on this program. She described the actions of at least one, if not two, board members as being borderline harassment and insanity. and well beyond typical criticism, and in fact, outside of the scope of the role of the commissioner. So, James Patterson, you're saying, look, they're talking about you there in part. You think they're talking about you and Jacqueline Griffin. What is your response to that?
My response is, again, these are false claims and are accusations and allegations that are intended to be misleading, to take the public away from where we should be looking, and that's the finances, right? That's the vendors and things like that, misappropriation of funds, the forensic audit that I requested, you know, to going back 5 years to make sure that, you know, these expenditures or appropriations were proper. They want to draw your attention away from what our eyes should be on and staying on. So that being said, when we talk about fact-checking, right? So I fact-checked everything that she said. And when it comes to, number one, me coming into the district every day, you know, 24/7, that is totally false and misleading because you can foil my access.
What about your colleague Jacqueline Griffin on that?
I cannot speak for Jackie. I can't do that. I don't know if she's in the building or not. She's in the building.
And they might be talking about her, and I don't know.
Again, but that's what they should have clarified because the public hears that and they think it's either one or the other or it's both, right? So I spoke to Jackie and I told her that I'd be speaking for myself today, you know. But if she wants to come in and speak, she's more than welcome to do that. But for me, I have to set the record straight. If you're going to group me in with things that are being done or you know, not being done right or correct or proper, or you're violating some type of policy or procedure, then name me and tell me what that issue is or that incident was. But when you say that I'm coming in spying and listening, even Jackie can't do that because if you know the configuration of the conference room for the commissioners where I sit and study or want to go in and sit and study, that's nowhere near the superintendent's office. You're talking about a large hallway that sits between us. You're talking about three wooden doors that separate us
but
from
did,
top
have
to bottom.
Have you ever followed the superintendent in and out of his or in and out of his office?
Absolutely not.
Has your colleague Jacqueline Griffin done that?
I can't speak for that. Again,
is it possible?
I can't speak to it.
Okay.
Honestly, you're going to have to ask her those questions, and I'm sure she'll. I shouldn't say I'm sure. I would hope she'd send you clarification on that.
Okay, fair enough. Now, have you observed any behavior from any board member that you think could have driven the superintendent out?
Honestly, I don't, because me as a board member, if I can sit through what I sat through for 2.5 years, just recently in open forum called Fathead, and I'm called stupid, you know, in the public eye by Vice President LeBron, and closed door, if I'm called a effing pervert and get the F out of here and you're a piece of...
Okay, all right.
That's the language. If I can tolerate that, and I'm sorry for being quite transparent.
I hear you.
But okay. If I can tolerate that, then the superintendent can tolerate being questioned relative to finances and, you know, other decisions he makes as a superintendent. That's your job. You're our only employee and general counsel and the auditor general. There are only three employees in the district. So, yes, you three have to answer to, even if it's one board member, we're asking that those questions in front of other board members.
So,
the dais.
So why do you think the superintendent is leaving?
I wrote something up, and I want to make sure I'm clear. That's why I wrote it, and
sure.
I'd like to read it.
That's okay. Yep.
So as it relates to the superintendent's resignation and why he is departing so quickly, the public needs to be told the truth. I will not be the scapegoat. The superintendent conspired with Adam Urbanski to get rid of several Black and Latino leaders or force them out. It is my understanding that the superintendent and members of his cabinet are facing litigation due to ongoing discrimination and harassment that Black and Latino leaders continue to face. It is also my understanding that there is a class action lawsuit underway regarding this matter. If there is an issue regarding policy, I am obligated to discuss it and address it. The difference is I am not willing to sit back and allow this kind of injustice to occur. So we have a real issue when qualified, hardworking, highly educated Black female principal felt a need to wear a body camera to protect herself because she was being harassed and lied on. The racial harm that has been detrimental to her and other marginalized leaders' mental health and well-being. So that's something I just drafted because I wanted to be transparent and I wanted there to be no question. I didn't want to make a mistake in why I thought the superintendents had left. Now, that being said, one thing I do want to correct is that out of the seven of 11 black and brown women, some having doctorates in front of them, I misquoted at one point in time, and I want to correct that and say some of those lost their jobs due to the school reconfiguration. So I want to add that also.
You're
but it's 7 of 11.
7 of 11. 7 of 11 of what? Put it in full picture.
7 of 11 individuals are either black or brown
school leadership
females,
positions.
School leadership positions and administrators.
Who have lost their jobs?
Or been reassigned.
In the last year?
I'd say a year or two.
Okay. I want to be clear because this sounds like a pretty extraordinary allegation. You said that the superintendent conspired with the president of the Rochester Teachers Association to force black and Latino leaders out?
That's correct. I know of at least one situation that was brought to my attention. I looked into it myself because the complainant had already approached the superintendent, you know, relative to these issues. So once it hits the superintendent, nothing's done about it. As a matter of fact, I wrote a letter on injustice and read that to my board, letting them know that what we're allowing to happen here as a board of seven, a body of seven, this shouldn't be occurring. We should be addressing this when individuals, when they're principals and they have a doctorate in front of them, when you can't show me anything, be it a performance evaluation, be it coaching or, you know, anything else that, you know, would show that they weren't doing their job or weren't capable of doing the job. If you can't give me one piece of evidence that shows me they need to be removed from that position, that's an issue for me. And when you tell me we don't have to give you it because this person doesn't have tenure, that's an issue for me.
Well, is it a situation of money and downsizing?
No, not at all.
It's not?
No, this was a situation where you had a minority of teachers at a certain school complain because that principal was making them do their job, number one, and when she goes in for that person goes in, for example, and there's no lesson plan, or when that the principal goes in and sees that there's a child in the garbage, it's a form of punishment. One of our black children in the garbage can is a form of punishment. When that principal goes in, I'm just naming a few things, and there's a kid that can write his name, not print it, but write it. And she asked him, you know, son, did you write your name? But she's looking at them, you know, in fifth or sixth grade, it was doing really kindergarten and first grade. You know how we trace the lines? If he can write his name, why is he tracing his numbers and his letters? So, no, you're not doing coursework for that grade that you should be doing. So, yes, a principal, when we put pressure on principals to excel and succeed and allow our kids to or help our kids or push our kids toward reading on grade level, right? Graduating on time or a skill so they're prepared to go out into the world. When we put the school chiefs put pressure on the principals to be successful and their school to be successful, to get them out of receivership. But when they're doing what they're expected to do to get them out of receivership, then wait a minute. You know, there's a few minority teachers that think you're pushing them too hard or they don't like your form of administration. You're too direct, which I've heard myself. So when Adam Urbanski comes in, without that principal's knowledge into that principal's school, and has a meeting with that minority, not the majority, but the minority, and has them write up...
The minority of teachers.
Teachers, right. It wasn't a majority.
Okay.
It was a minority.
Okay.
So what's important... is a vote of no confidence. So when you have a vote of no confidence and you take that to the superintendent and you put pressure on him to remove that principal, that's an issue for me. And this is fact because it's been recorded. So I'm not saying anything here that I don't have firsthand knowledge of.
So let me explore a couple of points. First of all, are you able to say what school and the name of the principal?
No, I'd rather not at this point in time because it's probably on some form of litigation or something like that. But
okay. Is it your allegation that if this principal were white, they would not have been removed?
I don't want to get into that. I don't want to get into a black-white issue. Want to give you the facts.
So but
the
you,
facts
did, are... you did say that you believe the superintendent conspired with Adam Urbanski to force black and Latino leaders out. You didn't say that they're forcing out qualified leaders. You brought up race yourself, right?
Oh, no, they're qualified.
I understand you think they're... Right, but you are bringing up their race.
Yes, I am. But I'm not at this... I'm not saying you're racist. And I think that's what you're trying to get out of me. But I'm not saying that.
I want to understand the full breadth of your allegations. That's all I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
So when you say Peluso conspired with Urbanski to force black and Latino leaders out, is it because they were black and Latino, or did they just happen to be black and Latino and they were forced out when they should have been kept in leadership?
Again, I can't get into the – I don't know their way of thinking. If I had – I work on facts. You know, and that comes from my law enforcement field. All I can give you is the facts. All I can report is the facts.
And are you concerned this was race-based targeting?
I am, to be quite honest with you and transparent, but I can't sit here and call someone a racist or, you know, something like that. I just think that, you know, reporting out on 7 of 11 individuals that, you know, lost their jobs, they were transferred, they were removed from those positions, put in central office.
7 of 11 were...
Of color, black or brown.
Black or brown. What is the percentage of people of color in those leadership positions district-wide?
I don't know that right now. I couldn't tell you.
Because what you're describing is 63% of these 11 were black or brown. I don't know what the percentage is across the district.
Yeah.
You seem to think that it's an outsized number here. So don't you think we need that number, first of all?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's some things when I leave here that, you know, I will have to... You know, look
sure.
into. I've asked for numerous documents because it's a majority vote that I haven't been able to get. I haven't been able to receive. Either I've been sent out to a site, you know, and I'm asking directly for those numbers, you know, when it comes to how many black principals do we have, or brown principals, or female principals, or male principals. Those are things that I would think that my board members will want to know also. But I want to make sure that that the public that's listening doesn't think I'm being racist or discriminative in any shape or form, because I'm not. I just want to clear that up.
Okay. And I don't know what Adam Urbanski would say about this. I can say that if what you're describing is true, and I have no reason to doubt the facts of this particular school, that there were teachers who were complaining, and you say that's a minority of teachers, it's not a majority of teachers,
mm-hmm.
but there was a group of teachers complaining about a principal.
Yes.
They made complaints maybe to district office or maybe to the RTA.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it normal for the head of the RTA to go in then and talk to those teachers and understand what their complaints are?
It is, but to have a vote of no confidence, shouldn't that be a majority vote, not a minority vote?
I actually don't have any idea how a vote of no confidence works or what the significance is.
If you're going to move on something like that, you know, remove a doctor of education, a very intelligent person who's worked over at East even and has been given accolades by Dr. Nelms, who I also interviewed. And then comes...
Did Dr. Nelms speak highly of this?
Very highly.
This person? Okay.
Very highly. So, and so did others. But again, I did my homework before I'll especially come on air and be transparent. You know, I want to make sure that I have my ducks in a row. So even speaking with the superintendent, I told him I was coming on air because I want to be transparent with him too and respectful. You know, I am going to be speaking. I gave you an opportunity, you know, 2 weeks or more to clear this up.
And did he get back to you about this? These dismissals or reassignments?
We didn't talk specifically relative to that, but he was upset at me that I didn't mention that some of these teachers had been, correction, principals had been reassigned due to or lost their jobs relative to the school reconfiguration.
Sure.
And, so he did want me to clear that up, so that's why I'm saying that.
And we're talking about 11 principals or 11 school leaders in some form, yes?
Yes.
How many were dismissed outright from the district and how many were simply reassigned?
I don't have that breakdown. And again, I'm just going to make a note of that. So I have that breakdown.
Sure, but,
next
but
time.
That, I mean, that seems pretty pertinent to me. I mean, if 11 mm-hmm. are fired or without cause or dismissed, and then you point out that a majority are black and brown and that we don't have that many black and brown leaders, then you might look around and go, boy, this seems off to me. But if they're reassigned during a reconfiguration, aren't naturally some leaders going to be reassigned during school reconfiguration?
Right. So again, that's a question. How many lost their jobs? How many were reassigned? And how many were targeted like this? I need to know. But it is quite disturbing to me that there's, you know, the lack of data even when I request it. You know, if I request this data, I have to go through the board, and the board can say no. I asked for a key to the conference room, and I had to have a board vote to obtain a key to enter our conference room, when these days there's keypads for safety purposes even. You know, is that a room that can be utilized, you know, if we have an active shooter? And all things, you know, I've wrote things like this to them, that it isn't just James, you know, wanting a key to spy on the superintendent, as they'll say. You know, we should have a place where we can go to that's safe as commissioners, that's ours, so the conference room, you know, for specifically for, I shouldn't say specifically for, but designed for commissioners to go in for our meetings, executive session and things like that. But I have to have the key to get in there. You know, maybe I just want to go in and no one know that I'm in there and just work on my own quietly.
So you're frustrated that you just feel like you can't get basic information that should not require a vote and a moving of a mountain.
Absolutely.
Okay. I want to make sure I understand what you're going to say if Adam Urbanski and Carmine Peluso say the following. If Adam Urbanski says, look, I had complaints from teachers. We can go back and forth about whether you think the principal was right to behave the way the principal did. I represent teachers who felt that they were not being treated well, and so I raised my voice as the head of the RTA. And Peluso might say, look, we did have 11 principals reassigned. We've had a big school reconfiguration, the biggest in years. Of course we're going to do that. It's not based on black and brown. It's not based on anything other than a natural reshuffling of the deck. And if you have an issue with that, come talk to me. What are you going to say if that's what their contention is?
Well, let's start with Adam, for example. Adam, in the paper, said that I harassed, right, Jackie and myself, Commissioner Griffin and myself, harassed and annoyed the superintendent. That's false. So now, Adam, you've opened the door for me to come in and give a response. And also be transparent relative to why I think you made that statement in retaliation for me supporting this principle with being treated unfairly. So now you open the door, you know, because people, why would Adam say something like that if it isn't true? Well, now I'm telling you why. It's retaliation, because, you know, I've been speaking out on and openly to our board and wrote that piece on injustice relative to, you know, what I saw, what I learned, and they don't want me to use the word investigate, but what I inquired about, we'll say. So, yeah, I know a lot now. It took me 2 years to connect the dots, but I connected the dots. And the nepotism, cronyism, favoritism, some of the things that we're seeing, we talk about malfeasance, misfeasance, and nonfeasance. Some of those things are running wild, and some of those things had to do specifically with this incident we're talking about and I'm reporting here today.
What would you say if Peluso says, look, we have a school reconfiguration. There's going to be school leaders reassigned. Why would you go public with this allegation that I'm conspiring to force black and Latino leaders out when we're simply shuffling the deck on a school reconfiguration?
Because there's tape recordings that I've heard that say otherwise.
Okay. Can you Be more specific.
I really can't at this point in time, but I'm sure at some point in time it's going to be foilable. But I've been advised at this point in time, you know, please do not, you know, divulge that information. So I have to protect my sources also.
Who is on these tape recordings?
I can say at least the superintendent is.
Is he making remarks that you find troubling?
Very troubling.
In what capacity?
Extremely troubling.
In what capacity?
Basically, admitting that he did some things that were not proper as a superintendent. He made some decisions based on political pressure.
Maybe we should at least, in this line of inquiry, if there's not more you can share specifically in terms of evidence and you say there isn't right now, we should probably cut at least going down this road because...
That's okay.
Well, I'm simply saying you're making a really strong allegation, but you're saying I've heard it, but I can't share it. And it's out there, but no one else has heard it. Well, that's really tough. And I want to be as responsible as I can be because if that recording that you're describing exists and the public can hear it, then we can all kind of digest it and talk about it.
Well, like I said, at some point in time, as you know, when things are in litigation, certain things you can divulge and certain things which you can't, especially coming from a law enforcement side, right? I have attorneys in my family who I consult, you know, relative to, you know, this conversation and even my writings and things like that. I want to make sure that I don't subject myself to any litigation, right? So, but I know I have facts, and like I said, there are recordings that other organizations have received at this point, I'll say, without saying too much.
All right, we'll see if we eventually those things are exist in the way you describe and if they can go public. But one other important point here, though. Part of what you're saying about Adam Urbanski, why did he say in the paper, as you point out, why did he name you and Commissioner Griffin? You're saying to distract from his frustrations with your pursuing his advocacy to remove these principals.
Yep.
And, okay, so that's the explanation you give for that. I still don't fully understand what the explanation is, as you see it, with why Dr. Peluso is leaving it all.
I think because of what I read into, you know, the mic a few minutes ago. I think he feels, senses, maybe he's been notified. This didn't happen overnight. This situation's been going on for well over a year. So if you know this is coming down the pike, and now you've been, what can I say, notified that doesn't mean stop. I think I'm saying too much right now, but if you have knowledge that the information that I read is factual, Why would you stay when you know that's coming down?
I think what you're describing, correct me if I'm wrong, is what you're alleging is the superintendent didn't just conduct the school reconfiguration in a straightforward ethical or legal manner. Legal, I don't even know if the right word, but you seem to be saying he went outside the lines, removed people who should not have been removed. Bowed to political pressure, and then got called on it. And you're saying once he got called on it, he said, I'm out of here. I'll take the job next door at Churchville Chile. That's what you think happened?
I'm saying specifically, and I'm going to point directly to one case that I have evidence.
Yep.
And that I've heard the evidence.
Okay.
When you know that there is this situation... that, and he's concerned about his character. He's concerned about what people think about him. I'm concerned about, you know, in a sense, you know, sometimes I don't care what people think about me, but obviously I do. You know, I want to protect my character, and that's why I'm back in here. When someone steps on your character and tries to define you in a certain manner, you know, there comes a point in time where you have to speak out. Not immediately, but this is a point in time where I thought I was going to be transparent. So I'm not that typical commissioner that I'm very transparent because I don't have any political aspirations. So for me, I'm going to be very transparent, very honest, and have integrity in what I'm saying. When you make decisions because of politics, and that affects our kids, our students, because I heard she was a very good principal, when politics weighs into that, you're affecting our kids. And when it affects the kids and student outcomes and families, families were happy with that principal over there. We have a problem hiring people of color, but our best and brightest, because they have their own ideas, their own minds, they speak eloquently. You know, you take that, or the administration takes that as something negative. And it's, you have to allow intelligent people. It's like our community and our kids today. They're very intelligent, you know, so you have to come at them a different way. And when you have bright educators that are thinking outside the box and doing things differently to make a change, to make a difference, to grow, right? We want growth. You have to listen to their ideas too. You can't lead by intimidation and fear. And that's the way this district leads, and it's been leading that way for a while. You have to give people a voice and at least listen.
But can you see why there's a difference that the public may hear between two statements? The first being, you think this superintendent made mistakes and did not value skilled administrators who were doing important work, and as a result, made decisions that you disagree with, versus the superintendent conspired to force Black and Latino leaders out. That's a different statement entirely, isn't it?
Well, do we think, without me saying I'm being racist or anything like that, do we think that racism doesn't occur in our community? Do we think discrimination, unfair and unequitable treatment doesn't occur within the workplace? But yet we never talk about it. So if we don't talk about it, we're kind of complicit. You know, so we need to talk about it and get it out there. Yes, what we think in the Black community is 7 out of 11 individuals that were Black and brown, something was wrong there. And for me, quite specifically, I'm speaking to one, right? And there's also an administrator that I can think of that was removed from her position. And one of our cabinet members placed her friend in that position and business partner. Is that a conflict of interest? Should I not talk about that? When you have someone removed from a position because of something they might know or might not know, and then place your friend and business partner in that position, that's an issue. And these are things I've had discussion with the superintendent, so I'm not saying anything that he hasn't heard yet.
Okay, that's fair enough. I'm simply suggesting that these are pretty extraordinary claims, and that the public will be better served if all of the evidence can be presented alongside these claims.
And I'm not the person at this point in time. I'm respectful of individuals that provide me with information. I'll never divulge a name. Everyone knows that with me as a commissioner. I always make sure they go through the proper chain, right? Did you go to the principal? Did you go to the school chief with this issue? Did you go to the superintendent with that issue? And then when it gets to the superintendent, nothing's done, then that's when I stop it. If I think it has rose or risen to the level of discrimination, we'll just say unfair, unequitable treatment, racism, or an injustice.
We're talking to Commissioner James Patterson from the Rochester City School Board. So if the superintendent was behaving in this way, then why were you disappointed that he's leaving?
Because he still had at least five other, you know, you're just naming Commissioner Griffin and myself. That's just two. We're just two votes. No, you still have five.
I'm asking you personally. Yeah. If you think that he was not only botching some of the reconfiguration, but conspiring to force Black and Latino leaders out, then why didn't you get word of his resignation and say, okay, well, good. Why were you disappointed?
I was disappointed because of all the other great things he was doing. And don't get me wrong, I don't dislike the superintendent. I just think he made some bad political decisions. And so personally, like I said, you know, I had no personal issues.
And you didn't think those issues were fatal for his career. You think he could have stayed here?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. If he just did the right thing. I mean, make that situation or those situations right. You know, but when you're quiet, you're complicit. And that was the issue for me. Yes, everyone makes mistakes. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Right? I make my mistakes. Beatrice Lebron said, geez, you know, what did she say relative to we don't know our jobs? Well, we've only been on 2 years. You know, I heard to be a great seasoned commissioner, it takes at least 4 years plus, you know, to be really knowledgeable relative to this district and how it operates and how it functions. But to call me stupid, that is just outrageous. You know, look at the county legislator. You know, the words that she used toward two county legislators in open session. So, no, you don't talk to people like that. That's so disrespectful.
Are you going to run for re-election?
No, not this. As I tell everyone, I'm going to tell you the way I tell everyone that I promise to be there for 4 years, one term. Unless I tell everyone the same thing I'm telling you, unless I hear from God himself, I'm out. You know what I mean? I've done my 4 years. Hopefully, I've been able to make a difference in some of the things that, you know, I've helped with. You know, I'm going to mention Amy Malloy because she took the same course with me on governance. So when it comes to another model of governance with the Council of Great City Schools, you know, we got that passed. So you got another governance model coming in. And you know, we have SMART goals, right? For the first time, our goals are SMART. So they're smart, specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound. You know, so these are some of the things that in the 2 years that we've been here, that at least myself, that you think haven't gotten done that have. And those are very good as far as governance. You know, just those two things right there. You know, being a policy, board policy diet. So now we're also talking relative to instead of having, in the place of having, you know, the committee of the whole, go back to, you know, just having a few people on a committee. So those are some of the conversations we're having right now and changes. So in 2 years, that's pretty good, you know, so that you're getting some of those things in. So, you know, I don't know, just dismantling the old form of government. That's another thing that, governing, I should say. You know, we have to change with the times. Just because this has been done for decades, it doesn't say it's right in the way to do things today. And I think that's what my board, the leadership, has a problem with me coming in saying, ah, maybe that worked then, but how's that been working for you? So it's time for a change. Let's look at policy, change policy, adopt new policy. We're in a different year, a different era. So,
I suspect you didn't think you'd be part of the process of having to deal with another hiring search for a superintendent. Is it your preference that the next superintendent comes from outside of the district or comes from within?
Outside.
Outside?
National search.
But that was a quick answer. You yes. Prefer an outside voice.
I prefer an outside voice. I prefer, even if they've worked here and left, went somewhere else. For me personally, I would like someone that doesn't have any ties to individuals that are already inside the system, especially in the cabinet, right? And that's not to say that maybe someone will rise up and we'll do a national search and maybe someone, you know, Dr. Ramos, right? I want to say glowing things about Dr. Ramos, right? She's going to be our interim, right? So I want to say glowing things so far the way it has it right now. You know, she is in the lead for this position. So if she's the one that will take us into the next, you know, year, you know, she has my support, my full support. Very intelligent woman. I've worked with her before when Bohan Vargas was here on investigations. And she's just a very intelligent, highly intelligent, well-spoken woman who is educated in that area. So,
and you say take us into the next year, as in the next school year?
Next school year, yeah.
The next school year, because right. The superintendent, my understanding is he's through the end of the school year, and then in July he goes over to Churchville Chi-Lai.
Correct. So whoever that next interim is going to be, they'll be here in a different role for a little bit until he leaves.
So what does the next superintendent need to bring in terms of quality and work? What are you looking for?
I'm looking for someone, number one. The first thing would be have a mind of his or her own, right? You know you work for the board, but you know our mission, you know our vision, right? Strategic plan, you're familiar with that. We don't want to change too many things because that's been the issue with the district for decades, right? New people come in, new superintendent comes in, right? And we've had, 11 people have served as superintendent at the Rochester School District since 1980, right?
But something like six in the last 15 or 14 years.
Yeah, it's too much change.
Yeah.
So someone that'll come in and have the same vision as we do, but be able to stand on their own without political pressure or pressure from the board, and I think I'll stop right there.
Okay. Are you confident that the board will be able to hire the best candidate given some of the board's reputation for dysfunction?
Well, they themselves, let me just think about this. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that when it comes to that, number one, I'm not saying that board members don't care about children. I'm saying it's not their priority. And the priority has to be student outcomes. The priority has to become the kids. The priority has to become something other than you or me, that you have a dislike for me it has to be whatever we can do to make sure that these kids and the decisions that we make put them first and not second. If they're second, it'll never work. So put your politics aside, put your dislike aside, and say, hey, for the betterment of the community, for the betterment of the parents, for the betterment of these children.
Because and let me just say, Mr. Commissioner, James told me not to call him commissioner, but I'm going to call him commissioner. He's an elected commissioner. Mr. Commissioner, you've talked about, in our last few minutes, I want to hit this as well. You talked about putting kids first, putting the safety of kids first. You've had some tough debates with your colleagues about what that should require in terms of school safety, et cetera. How safe are the schools this school year? How are things going? Do you want to see changes?
I definitely want to see changes because at this point in time that we are not reporting out on the way we should be reporting. So if there are serious assaults or assaults in schools or fights in schools, individuals, our suspension rates, and I understand there's a push for solutions, not suspensions, right? So I understand that. But when it comes to restorative practices should be mandatory if you want us not to suspend you. It shouldn't be voluntary because the kids won't voluntary to be part of it. So we talk about solutions and consequences. One of the consequences has to be that you do go to restorative practices, not it's a choice. So that would have to change for me. And the lack of reporting or putting pressure on principals not to report, these are facts that I've heard from principals. You know, James, we've been advised not to report these things the way it should be reported. So again, being transparent, that's what I'm here for. Like I said, I'm only planning on running one term, so I don't have to worry about any political ramifications from me being transparent and honest with the public.
Okay.
They voted for me to be transparent and honest with them.
Well, I want to mention the WXXI education reporter, Noelle Evans, who's listening along. Got a lot of people listening, Commissioner Patterson. The WXXI education reporter, Noelle Evans, just spoke with Adam Urbanski, who says the allegations made during this hour are nonsense. He says at no time has he had a conversation with Dr. Peluso where race and ethnicity of staff were a topic of discussion, end quote.
So I'm not saying that race and ethnicity were a topic. I'm saying that these conversations affected individuals that are either black or brown females, either principals or administrators.
I understand. I think that's why I pointed out when you say Peluso conspired with Urbanski to force black and Latino leaders out, it carries an implication that they were intentionally looking at the race of
No, I didn't say that.
Okay, so you don't feel that they were intentionally targeting based on race. You're saying they happen to target people, 7 out of 11, who were black and brown, and that that is a painful loss for the schools or the district.
And let me go back and correct that if I said something wrong. I'm speaking of one specific case involving one principal that is a doctor of education. That one case is what I'm talking about. When Adam Urbanski went over to that school and spoke to a minority of teachers, and I have nothing against teachers because I'm a teacher myself, and all the teachers know that I support them. But when it comes to strong, intelligent, well-spoken female principals or male of color, black or white, actually, I should say black or brown, but include white. Even if a white principal came to me and told me they were being discriminated against or something was done unfairly, there was an injustice. That's a word I want to use. I'm going to fight just as hard for that individual as I am for black and browns, because I don't think anyone should have to work under pressure. Black, brown, or white, male or female, straight or gay, it doesn't matter. I'm fighting for injustice across the board.
So, Commissioner James Patterson has been my guest, and he has made some strong allegations. We will do our best to try to corroborate or at least look into what you've said to the extent that the evidence is out there. And I do hope that to the extent that you can, as you go forward, as you are able to share more, that you will.
Yes. If I'm given that permission by that source, absolutely. I'll be back in and talk specifically to the details. And I think I won't even have to speak to it, because if you hear the recordings, I think it'll answer the questions for themselves.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And certainly Adam Urbanski, Carmine Peluso will be invited, just as other board members are invited, and I hope they join us. More connections coming up.